Man, y'all are just holding it down over here, man. So fine. Oh, I'm so glad to be back with you. So glad to see you. Thank you all for your support and your prayers and your sweet messages to me while I was traveling. Thank you so much. And for all of you who've contacted me and haven't gotten back to you, just be patient. I will. I just want to let you know my brother is doing well. He finally got moved to a regular hospital room yesterday. And yes. When I went to Colorado, it was to hold that space for him in case during this surgery he decided to leave this planet. And for 6 hours, my nephew, his son, and I kept each other distracted and in that place of peace for him. And we were so grateful, first of all, that he got through the surgery. It was very difficult. It was very complicated. And he is making slow but steady progress and continuing on the next part of his journey, which is so perfect for the Lenten season. You know, we are... Are you used to the things changing around you like every other day or less period of time? I mean, if anything, the last 2 years has got us activating our built-in ability to be resilient, to be able to look at changes and take a deep breath and just go, well, okay, let's see how we handle this. We make an affirmation every Sunday about there being one presence and one power active in the universe and in our lives, God the good. And it's hard for us sometimes as human beings to be able to make that affirmation wholeheartedly when we see so many things in our world that seem to contradict that. And so I happened to catch this lively discussion in the Unity Ministers discussion page, private group on Facebook. Oh, my Lord. I thought, no wonder we have a hard time getting the message out because we can't agree among ourselves how to present this common dilemma of being able to affirm one presence and one power while we're watching evil at work in the world. And, you know, at the beginning of New Thought, coming into the world the way it did, which was based on a Platonic idea, going all the way back to Plato, the idea behind the form, it was a way for us to reframe the way we saw the world so that it wasn't so black and white, so that we were able to have one foot in the realm of the divine and one foot in the realm of being human, and to be able to merge those two together. So we had to start talking in terms of the relative and the absolute. The relative truth is that human beings are going to do bad things to human beings. That is a relative condition in which we live. As long as we have been wearing this human form, we have observed people being less than their best, including ourselves. But if we don't take the view that God is present everywhere, then where does that leave us? That leaves us in despair. That leaves us hopeless. That leaves us cynical. That leaves us in the realm of judgment all the time. And there is something greater in us that leaps up in recognition of goodness. It's why, in the midst of this unthinkable attack upon people, the destruction to civilians and their property. It's why we look for and focus on the good that people are doing in the midst of it? Does not your heart jump up with joy when you see the defiance and the courage of the Ukrainian people? Does it not? And that is the sign to us of that greater power and presence that's in the world, in spite of all the appearances. Now, we are not here to plaster a positive platitude. I like that. To put a pretty little Snoopy Band-Aid over the wound. It's not what it's about. But if we can see, as we heard in the Daily Word, as we heard in Abby's meditation today, if we can see that even those who would do evil to human beings is an instrument that is available to us so that we may examine our deepest held beliefs, to rearrange ourselves, to be able to know that in spite of the destruction that we're seeing, that there is an order that is not available for us to see yet. We cannot see it in its entirety. And it's especially hard for us to see it when it comes at the cost of human lives. I have found myself so angry. So angry. Because I feel helpless. I feel helpless in the relative sense that I can't make it stop. That we can't make it stop. We're witnessing the impossible. And that makes me angry. It makes me angry to see children dying, to see people who've only known one place to live destroyed. So angry. And even in my anger, there is that in me which calls me to something higher. It calls for me to wait in faith and wait in faith and wait in faith and to keep sending those prayers of protection and sending those prayers of protection and knowing that somewhere in this there is an order that is beyond our understanding. It's hard, my friends. It is hard to do this work. It is easy to sink into the anger and stay there. It's easy to sink into the hopelessness and stay there. That's a familiar and comfortable place, isn't it? To just sink down into our flesh and just say, man, this is really... Well, there's words I can't say in church. And yet, as I wrote about in my newsletter article that came out just a few days after this invasion began, we have to pray for everybody. Unfortunately, we have to pray for everybody. Dang. Because we can't, in our highest selves, say, I will pray for this group of people, but not that one. I'm going to pray for this person, but I'm not going to pray for the tyrant. We were kind of commanded to. We're commanded to. So do your best. Do your best. That's what we can do. We can do our best. We're going to fail. We're going to fail in our prayers. We're going to stomp our feet, and we're going to say, I don't feel like praying right now. It's okay. Don't pray right then. The fact that you notice that you can't pray in the moment means that you're a praying person. People who don't pray don't think about that. People who don't pray for others never think about who they're praying for or not praying for. So even in our rebellion, even in our foot stomping, even in our anguish, even in our helplessness, there is that in us which is calling us to prayer. You know, the Muslims have it figured out. They universally are called to prayer 5 times a day. I wonder why we've never adopted that in the Christian world, unless you live in a monastery or an abbey. You know? It'd be nice if we had a call to prayer 5 times a day and we stopped everything we were doing. Everybody stops everything they're doing. Just to pray. Just to stop and remember Spirit. I have a friend who's Muslim, lives in Turkey. And he travels around and sells his designed jewelry. He was in my home yesterday with his traveling companion. And we talked about the state of the world. And you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter that our language maybe wasn't as adept with each other as it is with other English speakers. Doesn't matter. It didn't matter that we worship one God with different names. We have the same sentiment in our hearts. We have the same care for humanity. We're the same. We're the same. So don't stop praying. Don't stop. Let that be your very first Lenten practice, is to keep praying. And especially in the moments when you say, I don't feel like praying right now. Know that it's okay. Because that can't exist unless you're a praying person. Okay? Okay. Are we in agreement? Can we walk together on that path, the prayer path? Okay. These are so pretty. It so happens that this little booklet that we're going to be studying on Wednesday nights, called Release and Renew 2022, A Spiritual Practice for Lent, the reading for today kind of matches up with the daily word. It's called A Season of Grace. And this reading was written and scheduled for publication written by one of my classmates in ministerial school. We were together all those years ago studying. And she passed from this life in September. And so my friend Joanna Gabriel, who is a doctor of ministry as well, she was mostly in Toledo, Ohio. And Joanna was a force for good in the world. She was fierce. She wasn't very tall, but man, she could get up in your face with the truth. Yeah. And she was a black woman who was, she was on a mission in this life. And it was very clear who she was and what she stood for. There are times when I have felt kind of wimpy in my spiritual practice, and I've thought about what would Joanna do? WWJD. and so, Joanna, I got you, girl. Just a little funny story about her. One of my classmates was a big white man. And for some reason, one day, he had the really flawed judgment to pat Joanne on the head. It took her about a half a second. She was like this. Don't you ever do that to me again. First of all, don't pat me on the head. That is condescending. Second of all, when a person's got nappy hair and you want to touch their hair to see what it feels like, you ask. He backed up, man. We all did. We all backed up. I never forgot that. Because Joanna had the courage to stand for who she was and to let her space in the world be known without crushing anybody else. You know what I mean? So, this one's for Joanna today. She says, why not make this year's Lenten season different from others by taking up the practice of unconditional love? Kind of what we've been talking about. Love will open you up to deeper divine ideas and spiritual growth. Love will make your Lenten experience a season of God's grace. God is love in action. Love purifies. Make this your work of Lent to allow the healing love of God to flow through you. That's the thing. When we're talking about that prayer practice, it's not you doing it by yourself. You cannot stop the flow of love. It takes a whole lot of effort. It's easier to love than not. Allow the healing love of God to flow through you, removing the blockages of, I'm going to do this in one breath, unforgiveness, guilt, anxiety, resentment, complaining, criticizing, fear, doubt, and any other negative thoughts about yourself and others. There's your list. You can grow closer to God in preparation for the consciousness of resurrection at Easter. So here are the things that she prescribes. Four things. If you're taking notes, now's your time. If you want to rewatch this service, take these notes. Or get this booklet available here, right, Leah? Yep, we've got them. Retreat. Change your emotional location. I love that idea. Return. Change your heart. Release. Change your thinking. Renew. Change your mind. Change your mind. So, change your emotional location, change your heart, change your thinking, change your mind.
What does that mean, emotional location? Think of something else?
Good question. I'll tell you what Joanna said. Time spent away from our normal activities and way of life helps us reconnect with God in prayer. Choose the 40 days of Lent as a spiritual retreat from excessive noise, news, and distractions. Light a candle. Taking breaks for journaling and music is ideal for transformation. That's how you can change your emotional location. Stop. Just stop for a minute. And don't you think it's prophetic? I mean, these things are planned out for publication months and months in advance of them coming out. Take a break from the news. Yeah, I'm afraid I spent a whole lot of time on CNN. But for me, my path is not to avoid the news so that I can stay centered. My path, and everybody's got a different one, is to know the news so that I can stay centered. It's like a little personal challenge for me. Every time I look at the news and go, well, it's a call for me to say, okay, what are you going to do with that damn? What are you going to do about that? Oh, yeah, okay. It's like spiritual calisthenics for me. And I guess that's what I need. Pow, pow, pow. You better grow up. I can tell you that traveling for me, I haven't really traveled in a long time. The only real trip that I took during the whole 2 years was to go to Chicago in February of 21. Yeah, February of 21 to look at a school that David was looking at for grad school, to go to Loyola. Yeah, Chicago in February is fun. So David's not at Loyola, by the way. So I got to travel by car to far northern Colorado. I was in Fort Collins, so I was closer to Cheyenne, Wyoming than I was to Denver. And I was up there when the winter storm hit, and we had like, I don't know, 180 hours below freezing. Yeah, like that. Yeah, I got up one morning to take my nephew to the airport. It was minus 3 when I got up. But it was a dry cold. So I got to have winter and see Canadian geese and be able to look at the Rockies. And I lived in Colorado when I was a little girl, so to be back up there and around the mountains was really nice. And then I have to tell you that I had a good time letting the plains and the tumbleweeds of the panhandle blow out a lot of the noise and stuff that was in my mind. I thought I'd be bored driving up there, but it was just the right time for things to get flushed out of my system. Just with that endless landscape. And then on the way back, this has nothing to do with the lesson today, kind of, but not much. I stopped in Lubbock the first night going out and the last night coming back. And we lived in Lubbock when I was 3. My dad worked for Shell Oil. And my parents were young parents, and they were broke parents. And so the cheap entertainment for their 3-year-old and their only child at the time was to go to Prairie Dog Town in Lubbock. Because you could just drive right up to the rail and watch the prairie dogs. And that was so fun for that 3-year-old kid. It's still there. And so I made a special trip to Prairie Dog Town 64 years later, where they built a whole park around it, and it's all in, you know, it's got a little barrier so you can't bother the prairie dogs. And I was, that's my earliest memory, is the prairie dogs. And it was my earliest memory at 3. I don't remember a whole lot else till I was 4, but I remember the prairie dogs. I remember the barricade that was up so you could drive your car up to it and not drive onto the prairie dog field. Now, I know for all of you that are listening or watching, I know that all you farmers and ranchers don't like prairie dogs because they're bad for your livestock. They step in the holes. So, sorry. Not sorry. I don't want your livestock to get hurt, your horses and your cows, but, you know, prairie dogs have been around for a little while. And so there before sunset, I went to Prairie Dog Town, and I sat there, and I got some celery out of my cooler, and I fed the prairie dogs, and I watched them with their little antics, and they're just adorable. They're just adorable. And for me to kind of complete that circle and to revisit something that was so precious to me when I was at my earliest stages of life sparked something in me. And it's one of those things that helps you remember that at your heart, you're pure. At your heart, you're young. At your heart, you are innocent. And all the layers of life and the world have not brought you down. Not all the way. You might get tamped down a little bit by life. We all do. But at our heart, we are pure and innocent and good. And don't forget it. That part of you is capable of praying for everyone. That part of you will take action as God directs. That part of you will let you be grace and love in action, God present here on the earth. That's who we are. That's why we got born. The rest of it are the details that make us rich, that make us wise. Did I do that? I brought the house down. That's it. Thank you. Makes us. The wind knocked over something. You hear it? Oh, okay. That's a mighty wind right there, my friends. Let it blow all the other junk away. Let it blow away. The world needs us right now. Right now. It needs us to be as fierce in our grace as we can be with our anger. Let us be as fierce with our hope as we sometimes get in our despair. Let us be everything good in the earth so that relative and absolute begin to weave themselves together so that we are spiritual beings having a human life. That's who we are. And we need to remember it so that we can continue to have hope. So that we can continue to do things that lift up all of humanity. We need it right now. Listen, I won't say his name, but if the tyrant in the eastern part of Europe, if he decides that we've stepped over that line just a little bit, and decides to rain fire down. Are you afraid? Yeah, of course we are. Do we want to get caught up in nuclear conflagration? No, we do not. So in the relative world, that would be devastation. What gets us through that fear, what gets us through that possibility is the absolute part of us. That's what gets us through. Say, you know what? If it happens, I know where I stand with God. I know where I stand. I know what's coming if this life ends. And yeah, we have to talk about it in church. I can't remember a time in my life when I wasn't afraid of some kind of nuclear thing. I don't remember a time in my life I wasn't. That it wasn't just simmering under the surface. Sometimes more at the top than others. And yet, here we are. I said that to you this morning, Julie. No matter what, here we are. Here we are. And time and space and life and death and tyrants and angels cannot stand between us and the divine. Ever, ever, ever. So maybe y'all know better than to let me be off for 2 weeks. Because when I come back, it's just all been building up in there. Blah. Why don't we pray? Let's pray. Beloved ones, just your presence today is the best welcome, the most beautiful liquid outpouring of love that I could ever, ever desire. So tap into that pure self of you, the one that's untouched. the one that arrived here on the planet knowing that you had come straight from the realm of pure energy. And life would have you forget, and then it would have you remember. So what a gift it is for us to tap into the pureness of our soul that is unchanging. And add to that perfect recipe the benefits of wisdom, the benefits of experience that makes everything richer. What a beautiful journey. And here we stand today, maybe thinking that we are but a few, but our energy, our intention is boundless and powerful. And so now, beloved, as you tap into that pureness inside you, that furnace of love, I want you to imagine it radiating from you, joining with all the other souls in this room with you and with us online, not separated by time or space. Take all that good energy and just radiate it. And let it fall upon people everywhere. And if you choose to do so today, let it fall down gently upon those millions of people that are displaced from their homes in fear for their lives, losing their lives, bringing life into the world even as munitions fall around them. Protection, peace, safe passage, even safe passage into the next life. And for those who would do harm to others, we pray for them as well, for they know not what they do. And just as we pray with compassion for our own blindness, we pray with compassion for the blindness of others. Just as we have misused our power, and we pray for ourselves for forgiveness in that, we pray also for those who are misusing their power even today. We know that there is one justice. There is one resolution. There is one saving grace. And we dwell in that. Dwell there for a moment. Breathe into it. And if your mind gets busy saying, but what? Set it aside with compassion. You can take those thoughts up later if you desire. For now, peace. And that which we desire most for ourselves, we also desire it for all of humanity, everywhere. We pray grace and peace upon this planet, with all its imbalances, with all its beauty, with all its life-giving and sustaining. And for those of you that are joining us online, I extend the hands of love and peace to you. You are with us. You are our divinely appointed prayer group as well. And if you will, take your hands now, put them gently together. Hold in it the peace of the world, the protection of the world. And grace upon it all, through your breath, through your life, through your words and actions. Peace and peace. And so it is. Amen.